We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. One of the rules in radio is you don't talk about competitors. I've never paid attention to that rule. I think it's silly. I think when people know about other stations in town, you're just being honest. I don't think you should, like, go through the lineup and...
Wait, there are other stations?
Who's on and, you know, how you can win money, but to act like you're in a window and nothing else is going on
what
is...
What are you talking about?
It's just silly. So, and I love my father. My father's the most successful member of the media in the history of the state. The most talented columnist in this state is Patrick Roycey. I've said it 100 times. Yeah, he would not appreciate me saying that, too. He'll get back to him now, and he'll be bad. God, I hope he hears about it when we after we're together this weekend. I've said so many times, the person who, if anybody kind of, I don't even know, inspired me, motivated, that's too strong, okay? Because I wanted to do it on my own, but I looked at this person and said, that guy's just fantastic at what he does. It's Patrick Roycey. And Patrick Roycey was giving me crap when I was a 4-year-old punk and still gives me crap when I'm a 34-year-old. No, 44, 53-year-old. And Patrick is still has his fastball and still is great. And I didn't see it because we were caught up in other stuff, but Dan and Adam did. Patrick tweeted this out about an hour ago. Garage Logic, Sports Talk, and Ride with Roycey will end September 7th. First Monday Night Sports Talk was September 12th, 1983, so that's very close to 35 consecutive years. Joe and I will have been on the air. Hubbards have been a fabulous employer. Yeah, that's Joe Sutri. And Suchi Boy, along with Rookie, with Garage Logic, have been an iconic show in this town, no matter what time they have been on the air. And I go back to even further than that. When I was living here as a kid and loved talk radio then and listening, and I forget the days, but like Joe hosted a couple days at night. Patrick did. I don't know. I forget who. But then I know Joe. I don't know Joe nearly as well as I know Patrick, but I know what an enormous impact they both have made in this town for decades. I have no idea what Hubbard is going to do, what direction they're going to go. I know Patrick for sure feels like he's been treated well by the Hubbards, and what he put out in the tweet is not just lip service. The little bit I see Joe, he feels the same way. But as well as the Hubbards have treated Joe and Patrick, they have received every bit as much in return of an entertaining, funny, memorable, significant revenue ratings. You don't have the success that those two gentlemen have had very often. And yes, there's a member of my family who's had a heck of a run here. And I'm sure he'll somehow bring that up in some way and talk about them as short timers. But they have been brilliant. Simply put, you don't have to agree with everything they say or do. I don't either. But in a business, when management is changing on a regular basis and wanting different things, and the audience wants different things, and there's different challenges of podcasts and different signals and all that going on, to have runs at times of dominance, of creativity, of shaping opinions, of imitators, tip of the cap, Adam, to both of them for pulling something off that very, very few people do. When you think of both of them, or
I do, well, yeah. I mean, look, CCO. Obviously, you talk about CCO being the good neighbor and about how classic canon, although Boone and Erickson, the ones you mentioned about how they shaped this station and ones before them. And when I was growing up, in formative years where I was introduced to talk radio, before it was ESPN, it was KSTP,
sure.
1500. That was the big name. It was Pat. It was Joe, Jason Lewis. They had Rush, I think, too.
You can go back to Don Vogel, Mischke.
Those were guys that I would listen to.
Yeah.
That I started calling into radio shows, which piqued my interest in getting in. And I remember getting on with Mischke, calling into his show. And calling in during Garage Logic and getting out as different characters and making Joe laugh. And that was it. And that sparked my interest in radio, those guys. And thanks a lot. I'm actually got into radio, and now I'm in radio.
Yeah.
And 43 years old.
And stuck with me.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, that's...
impressive.
It is remarkable. And, I mean, part of what... Listen, let's just be honest. Part of what happened to CCO and some of the... Because I say all the time, where this radio station has to grow is with people younger. It's just flat out the truth. 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And part of the reason some of that audience went away, went to KSTP, went to the Fan. I love being at the Fan and kicking this place's butt, right? I'm sure Joe and Patrick did too. And that's incumbent upon us. And so Patrick's never retiring. Joe might want to. Patrick is going to be busy, I hope, for the next 60 years of his life, because he's not going to stop. But what direction specifically they go, I don't know. But congrats for an amazing run. All right, let's do one segment politics, one segment nonsense. Conversation with my father coming up at the bottom of the hour. Chain migration, Adam Carter. It is an automatic when our president heads out on the road. And he talks about chain migration. In fact, he said this recently. You have chain migration. You know what it is? A guy comes in, stone-cold killer in many cases. But how many cases is it, by the way? Stone-cold killer. Guy comes in, and then you have to bring in his aunt, his uncle, his father, his grandfather, his grandparents, his third niece by a different marriage. He wants to end chain migration. Maybe not if it's in the family. Because Melania, his wife, and for the folks who say you shouldn't bring up Melania, I'm only bringing up Melania when she's in the news. But Melania, and there's some interesting questions about, you know, when she received her green card, because at one point it came up because of a marriage, and it pointed out she was married years and years after that. Then it pointed out that she received the green card for extraordinary ability. Maybe models do get that, right? Maybe they do. But then now it's Melania's parents who were able to get what appears to be the naturalization oath in a private ceremony. By what means? They now have someone who came to the country, gets their green card, and all of a sudden, what does she get to do? She gets to bring family members here. Hot meat kettle? It certainly looks like it, right?
Stone cold killers?
Stone cold killers? I don't think so. I hope not. I'm sure we'll get a lengthy, detailed explanation from the White House, right? What happened? Are we done with White House briefings? Are the White House briefings now just the tweets and the rallies? We're headed that way. But, Dan, doesn't this look like this is chain migration, one and the same?
Which is why it's so dangerous to paint anything with immigration with a broad brush.
Correct.
Right?
That's it.
Which is, you know, sort of reflects back on the presidency. Because yes, there are people that abuse the immigration system.
Correct.
Nobody's arguing that. Yes, there are people that are entering this country illegally and they should be, you know, put through the system. Nobody's arguing that. But when you start painting
broad brush, all
immigrants and all people that are trying to come, you know, refugees, doesn't matter, we're just going to treat them all the same.
Correct.
This is the problem you run into.
Exactly. But it works for the guy.
Sure.
Amoroso. When Amoroso was hired, I scoffed. I said, are you kidding me? We're just going to have somebody from Celebrity Apprentice. When people used her as a source, I said, are you kidding me? Then when she left, I'm like, really? Amoroso? And so now she's got a book coming out, right, where she is suggesting that the president's a racist, that there's no doubt There are tapes where he says the N-word. Ooh, that would have been a good one for Tiger. And other comments that he said on a regular basis. I've said before, the president's comments, again, about African-Americans and low IQ and how he's catered a lot of his campaign towards white America, I find extraordinarily troubling. I just have a tough time looking at Omarosa, though, and saying, here we go. I'm going to affix journalism qualities to this book like I'm going to affix to Major's book or Bob Woodward's book. Right?
She's always been in it for one person, clearly. It's herself.
Yeah, so.
Not a lot of stock in there.
Could be true. You're just not the person I'm going to use as the benchmark. Michael Avenatti, right? Stormy Daniels. On every show in America, seemingly. People feeling like this was a vendetta against the president. He's saying, no, I got my client. I got information. I'm going to take on the president. I'm going to take on Michael Cohen. And now it's like him and Michael Cohen are having this bond. Michael Avenatti, did you see where he's going to be this weekend?
Iowa State Fair, baby.
That is correct.
Is he coming here?
I am exploring Iran for the presidency of the United States, and I want to come to Iowa and listen to people learn about some issues that are facing the citizens of Iowa and do my homework. What do you think when you hear this?
It tells me everything I need to know about the power of power and when you or the power of the spotlight when you realize, hey,
this is cool.
I like this. Cool, and boy, you know, people are telling me I'm good at this, and wow, am I presidential material in this day and age?
Yeah, it's, you know, he says, hey, Donald Trump was a TV star. Yeah. He used that as a platform, and look, he's there. What this also does, it allows the Trump voters to say, it's just a guy who hates the president. Why should we give this guy any credibility? He wants to use his platform, whether facts are there or not. So, you know, am I going to eliminate Michael Avenatti like I eliminated Donald Trump? Dan, we don't have a clue if he's going to be any factor whatsoever beyond what the fact he's made himself available and Stormy Daniels and where that might go and the ties to Michael Cohen.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know. It's awfully unlikely that he would make an impact, but
I would think.
But you don't know, right?
Yeah.
Can I personally eliminate him from consideration? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I will.
I'm going to call it. He's our next
president. He's next president.
Let's keep the tape here.
Dan, of course, is the man who, until about 11:30 election night, said there's no chance Donald Trump is ever going to be president. He and about 70 other million people.
Yeah, no, I mean, I 100% was wrong on that. No question about it.
Nancy Pelosi. NBC News has a report today saying 50 Democrats aren't going to vote for her. There's another to be Speaker of the House. Another story. Washington Post about more than ever, she is the star of GOP ads. I mean, every time the president puts something out, it's Adam Carter and Nancy Pelosi, Dan Cook and Nancy Pelosi, Susan Blanche and Nancy Pelosi. She's 78. She has become such a lightning rod. She raises a ton of money. Isn't it? If you're the Democrats, aren't you begging Nancy Pelosi to step aside?
Yes.
Honestly.
Three elections ago.
Yes. And then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who the media blitz hasn't stopped, right, after pulling off the upset in New York. But I watched some of this interview that she did with Chris Cuomo, and there's some others. She's got to brush up on her facts also. There are a lot of things that she says. I mean, go to Fact Checker, Washington Post today, and there are a lot of comments that the future rep is tossing out that don't match up. They flat out don't match up. And she's going to be out there a lot. I mean, she hasn't even been elected yet. And she's viewed, Dan, as like one of the stars of the Democratic Party. Can we see her, like, win first? And then see how she answers some questions, and let's hope they match up with what actually happens a lot better than a lot of these questions that you can see in the Washington Post.
Doesn't it strike you to a degree as, you know, we talked about the Democrats' reaction to President Trump's victory being to go further left, and here she pops up and has this huge victory, upset win, and okay, now we're going to hold her up and as you know, look, we're actually catering to this left group that we, you know, we're accused of going to. But like you said, what has she done?
Yeah.
And, I mean, congratulations on the victory.
Great upset.
Huge victory.
Right.
She gets all the credit in the world for that, but she hasn't governed.
No. And by the way, a lot of the further left candidates this past Tuesday, Adam, as we said, did not win. 22 past 2 here on CCO. I'm going to say Adam Carter was aroused when he saw this story today. Buffalo Wild Wings might add sports betting to the menu. You might never leave B-Dubs. If they can set up a cot for you in the bat, in the back of the place, you drink, you eat, Jen and the kids come by occasionally, and you're getting some late steam on the Vancouver Canucks. You're
the
right
three-team parlay for the 9 o'clock puck drop.
You're right there. Is this where we're headed, though, do you think? Where, you know, off the Supreme Court change, and, you know, we still need something to happen in the state. There's that minor little pesky issue. But are we going to be at the casual places around, like, you know?
But if it's legalized widely, what's to stop?
You just on your own.
Aren't you going to have phone apps where you can do this? So essentially any sports bar becomes a
your house becomes a sports bar. Yeah. Your phone, your watch. Yes.
I mean, I guess if you make it like a Vegas-style sports book.
That's it?
That's it. I mean,
right? Because, Dan, it's one thing if you got your handy-dandy phone and you got Xavier tonight and it's why you're paying attention.
Duquesne.
And Xavier Duquesne.
And Mid-America matchup.
And you're locked in on that small forward, and you're watching the game from your fancy-dancy apartment in St. Louis Park. But a lot of people like the fun of what's going on at a bar. And if you can go to B-Dubs and get some of that secret sauce, and you're also betting.
It certainly seems that this is the trend, right, is that if we're going to be legalizing gambling throughout, then it's going to be establishments like B-Dubs and other sports bars that are going to try and capitalize on this. And, you know, if it's legal, power to them.
Right. You see how quickly Tiger hits one in the right, and Adam is just pointing right? Why are you such a Tiger hater?
Oh, no, I'm a Tiger. You know me, man.
You just said it's over. He's never going to win again, and he just hits it a couple yards off the fairway. Come on. Or it was maybe, 30 yards. Crocs. Yes or no, did you own a pair of Crocs?
I currently do own a pair of Crocs.
Currently own a pair of Crocs.
Not like I didn't buy them recently, but yeah. Jen loves Crocs.
Jen loves the lobster. Does the lobster still wear Crocs?
Oh, she's...
Does she work...
All the time.
Does she work out in them?
No, she just wears them all the time.
She
can't get enough.
Can't get enough. I mean, I've seen her multiple times. When we went out to the time, she was wearing a nice dress and she had the Crocs on.
It's strange, but they're bedazzled, so.
Bedazzled Crocs. Crocs, which, yes, I've owned a pair of Crocs, Dan.
My daughters do have Crocs, and they are bedazzled with little their numbers, sports numbers, and things they're interested in.
La-di-da. Cook, yes, no.
Never, not once.
Never no. Crocs.
I've never even had a pair on my feet, much less actually owned a pair.
Like a fashion faux pas, or?
I just never found myself going, hey, you know what I could really use?
They are comfortable.
It's what everybody says.
They are comfortable. Are they better than typical flip-flops? Because I like a little bit of that. I guess la-di-da here.
Well, Crocs.
A little arch support. I want a little arch support.
They have shoes. They have Crocs have like regular-looking shoes now.
Oh, shoes. I thought you said something else that we were gonna. Okay. Yeah, they do. They do. So they're closing their last manufacturing store, but they're saying, hey, we're not going out of business. Will you sleep better tonight, Adam, knowing your Crocs are still okay?
For the fine people that work at Crocs.
Yeah, we want that. Yes. We want that. I'm still bugged by the whole Oscars thing. Can we just circle back to that again from a couple days ago? This whole idea of we're pandering so much to the TV audience. Dan, you were not a part of the conversation where now they're going to have a popular film award. In other words, you folks who didn't want to see the artsier movies, the smart, but you wanted to get an Academy Award for Porky 7, now it's got a chance. So, you know, thank God, Porky 7. This is embarrassing. Let's get one of those stupid petitions to get this to end. Yes or no, is it going to happen?
No, I think the blowback's been too strong. And I think the most interesting portion of that blowback surrounds the fact that this happens in a year where people were expecting Black Panther to garner enough attention to actually be involved in the Best Picture race.
Yeah.
And funny, the film that stars all black people, now that's the year we're going to actually create this
yeah,
other thing.
That's true.
Because, it's 100% where the Marvel movies would go, right? It's into the blockbuster category.
Right.
So there's people pushing back on this on racial terms, and I think that's what the Academy is going to pay attention to more than anything else and say, okay, maybe not so much with this idea.
Bob Kroll. Bob Kroll's right, isn't he? I think NPR had this a couple days ago, or somebody did, in the Star Tribune talked to Kroll, where Pawlenty had the endorsement from the Minneapolis Police Federation Union. Okay, it wasn't from the Minneapolis Police, but he's pictured. Kroll's there, other officers in uniform. So to a lot of people, Adam, they see that. They see Pawlenty with the police and think, wow, the Minneapolis police endorsed Tim Pawlenty. And there were a lot of people upset, including the present mayor, Jacob Fry. Kroll, the head of the union, says, now, wait a second. What happened the previous two times when we did the exact same thing? Now, I want to see if it's the exact same thing. But he said, we did the same thing and we endorsed, not a Republican. We endorsed Mark Dayton. And the lefties didn't complain then. So what is the difference? Seems like he's right on to me, isn't he, Carter? I mean,
the difference is they're supporting a Republican candidate.
That's it.
That's it,
right? I mean,
that's absolutely what it is.
And it's that they're so bugged by him. And they don't like his words, right? I mean, the press conference, and then the day we had him on, it was, hey, off the charges and no charges and the death of Thurman Blevins, that he said, you know, right now, you just got to appeal to the far, far left. And he went after Fry. And he doesn't stop, by the way. He continues it.
In fact, I'm looking at a photo, by the way, from October 2014.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was used in campaign literature, but there is then John Delmonico.
Right.
Don't know if he's related to our Tom Delmonico.
We should ask Tom Delmonico the next time.
John Delmonico, then the president of the Minneapolis Police Federation, standing right next to Governor Mark Dayton and Tina Smith
in his
uniform, and there are three other officers in uniform.
That is the exact same thing? And by the way, the union, and by the way, I don't agree with Bob Kroll a lot. There are plenty of times you listen to our conversation, we go back and forth many times. But he's not exactly going to stop chiding the Democrats in the city, he goes, for an entire Democratic City Council that's known statewide as kooks, for them to have such issue with this, it's getting a lot more play for the Plenty campaign than it would have been if they would have just forgot about it. I hate to say it again, but he's right again.
I think so.
Isn't he?
Certainly sounds that way.
Right. Now, the mayor, and again, close circuit to the mayor, who when he was a city council member, would come on with us on a drop of a hat. And by the way, now rarely comes on, or if he comes on, we get this request. We'd like five of the questions you'd like to ask the mayor. And by the way, Jacob Fry, who was pretty outspoken about how invisible Betsy Hodges was.
Standing in this studio doing an interview saying that I'm going to be visible, I'm going to be out there, and the current mayor's not doing that enough.
Right. Now, let's be clear about that. He is visible at a lot of events. I think much more visible than Betsy Hodges. So I'm trying to narrow this to media questions where he's going to face some questions that he may not like. Because I'm not a fan of, and Adam, we've talked about this more, where there are more and more politicians where you try to get them on and it's, you know what it is? Hey, sure, maybe, give me all the questions you're going to ask.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
No, that's not. And by the way, to generalize, happens way more with Democrats than it does with Republicans. But Jacob Fry, in the Andy Manick story, he reiterates that he believes the flyer violates a city policy mandating political endorsements, contained a disclaimer earlier stating it's the police union. I don't know if the Delmonico photo listed any disclaimer that was any different. But on this one, it seems like it's just the party that's really bothering most. Adam, we'll have an update. We'll give you traffic and weather, then a conversation with my father.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back, everybody, on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Chad and Sid Hartman with you on WCCO. You know this very well. The Vikings' biggest concern going into the season was offensive line.
Yeah.
Now, Remmers out, Elfline out, Nick Easton now most likely out for the season. It's early August. The season is still a month away. How concerned should Vikings fans be?
Very concerned. I mean, Easton is their best offensive lineman.
Oh, I don't think anybody believes that outside of you.
Zimmer told me, looking at the film last year, that this guy was unbelievable. And how
Hold on. He said Nick Easton was their best offensive lineman, he was unbelievable.
Maybe not the
best. I'm not sure about that.
One of the best. One of the best linemen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're in trouble with that offensive line unless they can get some people who can replace them. They got young players. The center is not ready to play. He's on the disabled list. And a couple of other guys are hurt. They got to protect Cousins, and we'll see how that works out.
So here's my view. I think Nick Easton is a good player. He's not a great player. He's replaceable. But if they don't have Elfline and they don't have Remmers, then it becomes a bigger deal. Because so often during the season, something happens August 10th, August 20th, and by the time we get to October, it doesn't matter. To me, it just emphasizes, though, they, in my view, they didn't do a good enough job in the offseason getting better at the offensive line position.
Well, like you said, if they don't find some good offensive linemen, Cousins is going to be in trouble, won't be protected. I mean, and I think, anyway, I am worried about them. I'm concerned about it anyway. They got a very tough schedule on the road. They play.
You are Mr. Schedule. I've known you, obviously, here's a shock, I've known you my whole life. No matter the team.
no matter the year, whether it's the Twins, whether it's the Gophers, whether it's the Vikings, it's always the schedule. Now, this year, they are playing better teams, we think. But again, we think they're better teams. 2 months from now, we don't know if they'll be better teams.
Yeah, you don't know until they play. But based on past performance,
yeah,
they got to play at New England. They got to play at the Rams. They got to play the Eagles.
Yeah.
Got to play at Green Bay.
And all should be good.
Yeah.
All of them should be good.
All of them could be pretty good.
Yep.
Nobody knows how good or bad they'll be. You can't go, but based on past performance,
yep,
they'll be good.
I just have a feeling if I asked you about the Gophers football schedule 5 years from now, you'd be talking about that too. Let's talk about the quarterbacks. Here's the decision. They could give Kirk Cousins 3 years, $84 million, or Case Keenum 2 years, $36 million. What would you have done? 2 years, $36 million for Keenum, 3 years, $84 million for Cousins.
Well, I kind of thought they made a mistake. They had to move in a hurry on Keenum, because he was getting offers by other teams, including Denver. I think they'd have been better off keeping Keenan, who did play well, and Cousins' overall record isn't that great. He rates about 14th, 15th among the quarterbacks. We'll see how good he can do. They like what they've seen so far with him. They got great receivers and Takes and Thielen, mm-hmm, and some of the young wide receivers look pretty good too. But nobody knows how good he'll be.
I think the money is huge for me. Now, if you told me I could take either Cousins or Keenum, I would slightly take Cousins. But I still think Cousins, to me, it's just an above-average good quarterback. But with Keenum, you save $10 million that you can spend on other players. Maybe $7 million on another offensive lineman. Maybe $3 million on another linebacker. Keenum's best year by far was last year, but it was the first time he had a chance to play with a very good team. I think Keenum was undervalued with this team. I truly do.
You think he's underrated?
Yes. I think Keenum had a great year. I really do. And I should guarantee Kirk Cousins $84 million and the effect that is going to have on the cap this year and down the line with Keenum as an option. I would have kept Keenum myself. I'm with you.
Well, Keen had been with the team. They knew what he could do for sure on the basis of last year.
Yep.
Cousins is a question mark, maybe to a degree.
A little bit.
What if he gets hurt?
Yeah, but I mean, what if Keenum gets hurt? But I know what you're saying. If he gets hurt and there's $28 million,
yeah,
that's an enormous amount of money.
Well, I thought they should have kept Keenum.
All right, let's talk about the Twins. They trade Fernando Rodney last night for a guy who's been hurt a lot, a guy who walks everybody. He's very low in the A's system. What did you think about that deal yesterday?
Well, he wasn't that great. I mean, he got a lot of saves, but it was a touch and go with him. Like the other night, he almost lost the game. I don't know why they traded him. They are so short of pitchers. They have no pitchers. And they traded all the pitchers. They lose these games the last minute, last play.
Yeah.
One and one. I can't see why they traded him.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been an adventure. Fernando Rodney was this way when he was 25. If he's pitching three more years, he's going to be this way. I get the concept of trading people for younger people. Their bullpen is woefully thin for next year. Let's talk about their infield. They trade Dozier and Escobar. Dozier, another home run last night. Escobar's been good for Arizona. Who can you count on next year? Sano looks better, but we know what a disappointment he was. Polanco missed half the year for a suspension. Maurer might quit. That infield and that bullpen next year, they're going to have to add a lot of players through free agency, and this organization never spends a lot of money through free agency.
You got $28 million in salaries on coming into next year. When they open the season, they got $28 million salary.
Yeah, but that's a little skewed because there's a lot of guys who are arbitration eligible.
Yeah.
There are a lot of guys they have to sign. So it's not like they have $70 million to spend in free agency. But do you really believe they're going to sign four or five marquee players in free agency? Because I don't.
The point is the good players don't want to come here unless they're a good team. I mean, that's been their history in the past. They've never signed big-time free agents. They've worked with the farm system, and the farm system lower are good.
Yeah.
But not ready to play. So they could be in a lot of trouble next year, too.
Last topic, Gopher football. They've been practicing for a little bit. They've got a game in a couple weeks. Any feeling for what's going on with PJ Fleck's team?
Well, I don't think they can be too good. I just think they're so young. They got nine seniors on a whole team.
Yep.
We'll see what's going to happen. They got a pretty tough schedule. They got to play at Ohio State. They got to play at Wisconsin. They got to play Purdue's very good right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 5-7 last year. I don't think they can be that good. They lost some pretty good players, defensive players that graduated. I don't think they'll be that good.
That is my father. He'll join the Sports Huddle 10:30 on Sunday. Back in moments on WCCO. We mention this often. You can podcast our show, WCCORadio.com/Chad.
And we leave the swear words in during the podcast.
Should we do a podcast on WCCO Radio where we swear? Do people, we talk more how we talk off air? Do people want to hear that? Because
if you're doing it just to do it, then no.
Exactly.
But I use colorful language. I'm guilty as they come.
Yes, I think. Dan is cleaner than the two of us, and Lindsay also is filthier than Dan. We're all in agreement on that, right?
Yeah.
You're not exactly a Puritan.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination.
But
I don't know. I'm trying to think back to instances. Obviously, I know Lindsay's fully capable of using language, but I don't know that it's that much more than I do.
I think it's a little more.
I mean, that's a matter of perspective. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, if we did more of, because Dan has dabbled in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay is dabbling in the podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe the two of us.
It's time.
What do you want to talk about in the podcast?
Well, if we could come up with something. I'd love to do one.
I'm in. Let's.
Well, you're going to do the cul-de-sac podcast, right? Wasn't that what you're...
Well, that's if they come from upstairs.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that's in the air. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Seriously. We paid our respects, rightfully so.
How about we do one on shipwrecks of the Lake Superior? We'll start with the Edmund Fitzgerald. And
yeah.
Well, that is quite a bit about it.
That is your obsession.
Uh-huh. How many times are you going to play that song on a loop?
Well, I'd consider it if you do all the singing. Will you sing us?
No, I wouldn't sing, but but we've got to be on a boat. We've got to hear the waves lapping as ambient noise.
Lapping. Name me another way you use the phrase lapping other than how you just used it right there.
Does a cat lap up milk?
Dan? I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that's how it's used.
Is it?
I think that's correct usage, yeah.
Yeah? How about Adam when he finds a food truck?
How about you at the deja vu every Friday night? Lap dances.
Lapping. So it's like if you say to somebody, what are you doing? And it's like 11 o'clock at night, lapping? Is that another one? Lapping? Maybe? Is that your go-to place, the VU? I mean, you call it deja vu or VU?
No, it's about geography for me. I live closer to King of Diamonds in Invergrove Heights.
How about that's what we do the podcast on? You know? We bring the perspective of the owners, the customers, the ladies up
live from the front row.
Lapping. We'll call it lapping. Dan, will you be a part of lapping at all? Or
sure. I mean, if I'm not there right away, you guys just go ahead and start. And then
that did not sound very genuine.
Motley Crue playing in the background.
What are your lapping songs? Is it Pour Some Sugar on Me? Is that like
all that 90s hair metal, right?
Right. I mean, do we have what's a modern and the 10 song that gets played a lot at Spearmint Rhino and Seville and Buns and Roses and some of the places around town. This is your wheelhouse, Adam. Tell us. What do you think?
I don't know.
Don't see? So another thing we can explore. I've told you many times the place, probably the last place.
Club Saratoga.
Club Saratoga in Duluth where the poor ladies have to wait in line. If Dan is there to be a lapping observer, and he's, you know, putting on, you know, a little Twisted Sister, and Chantel's behind, she's got to wait to put the music in. So we'll put that under advisement. I'm not sure if that's what Intercom wants, Adam. Do you think that's really
I don't know. Content is king.
Content?
That is some content there, boy.
Well, we're
right out here at the park.
We're willing to do some research. I got a feeling we might be a part of that. We got to go. Thank you in all sincerity for giving us a listen. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk again on Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.